When you are away and you're a pastor, your mind kind of drifts to thoughts and scripture, and I just kept going over this again and again in my mind as I was away. It's kind of what I was meditating on, and I thought, I have to do something in communion with this. And to be honest with you, this is where we will kind of narrow things down. It is the part when Jesus says, bring some of your fish you have just caught, okay? We're going to land there, but I want to take just a few minutes just to talk a little bit about John chapter 21. It's an interesting passage because John chapter 21, amongst scholars, is believed to be added to John's manuscript. John actually added this to it. And if you look back into 20, you will see in verse 31, it says, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So it's a kind of a natural conclusion right there. And then we jump into 21. And so what's happening there? And this is what is thought of, is John writes this next part to explain something at the very end. So if you jump to, I had this here. Oh, here we go. Come on. Okay, it's verse 23. There we are. Verse 23. It says, because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He said, he only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is it to you? See, what's happened is that Peter is there. Jesus is restoring Peter. Peter then gets told of the death that he's going to die. And the death he's going to die is crucifixion. And Peter looks at John, and he says, what about this guy here? And Jesus says, mind your own business. It's kind of what he tells him. Mind your own business. What I'm going to do here, I'm going to do. And then the rumor started that John was not going to die. So he writes this entire chapter just to explain that this was not, Jesus didn't say he was going to die. He just was trying to explain to Peter, mind your own business, and I'm going to do with this guy what I'm going to do, and you, I'm going to do with you what I'm going to do. And so this entire chapter is written just so we could get to this part because John wants to explain what's happening here, which is kind of cool because otherwise, wouldn't you have kind of gone, what about Peter? Kind of what happened to Peter? Like, one moment he's over here denying Jesus, and if we don't have this chapter, the next thing we see is Peter preaching to thousands of people, and they're coming to know Jesus. And there's this gap that is in there. So I'm glad that there are rumors that start sometimes that need to be put to bed. And so John writes this to put the rumor to bed, and in it we get this wonderful story. So there's a few other observations that I want to make too. Have you ever wondered why Peter felt the necessity to jump in the water? Now, it says they weren't far from shore. That's like 300 yards. Have you ever tried to swim 300 yards? Okay, those that are swimmers, it's like, no big deal. But those that are non-swimmers like me, and all you do is try to keep from drowning, 300 yards is quite a ways, and then to throw a garment over you, like, come on, dude. But he threw a garment, and he swam 300 yards. The question I've asked myself is, why did Peter feel the necessity to jump into the water at 300 and swim in and leave his buddies behind? Here's my thinking. In this story, we are told that this is the third time that Jesus appears to the disciples, three times. He appeared more, but we know this is the third time that he appeared to the disciples. So the first time we know was in the upper room, and he appears there, and we know that Thomas is not there, right? The second time is when Thomas is there, and Thomas falls to his knees. He's worshiping God for who he is. So you think, you know how it is when you do something that's not right, and your heart is heavy with that, and you want to make it right with somebody. So Jesus appears twice to the disciples, and I think that Peter is wearing this heavy weight on him of his denial. And he hasn't had a moment to have Jesus, to be with Jesus alone. I don't know what the dialogue was when Peter and Jesus were on the shore, but I kind of suspect that Jesus says, "We're going to talk. We'll talk. We're first going to have breakfast, but we're going to talk." And I think that Peter just wanted to get in front of Jesus, and he just wanted to make restitution. He wanted to get right with Jesus. And he is willing to jump in the water and swim 300 yards. Crazy. Or 300 feet. There we are. So I think that's one thing that I observe in there. Another thing that I look in here and I observe as well is, what's up with 153 fish? Have you ever thought about that? When you read this, like, why are they talking about 153 fish? Now, over the centuries, it's kind of crazy because people have tried to make a theological explanation and put numbers together and everything like that. I think we just break it down real simple, okay? This is a miracle. And John wanted just to express that it was a miracle, that there were a lot of fish. And we could say, hey, I went fishing and I caught a fish this big. And every time I tell my story gets a little bit bigger, right? And so I think that in the wisdom, again, we know rumors, in the wisdom of John, he just simply wants people to know. And these are fishermen. These are people who fish is part of their diet. And so when he says there's 153 fish and the nets did not break, it's like, okay, I get that. I get the picture of that, okay? And so if I say that I caught a salmon and it was 25 pounds, anybody go fishing for salmon here? Come on, someone. Yeah? How big is a salmon that's 25 pounds? How big would that be? Okay, there, see? Right? So it's like, so yes, the story grows. The thing was massive, 100, you know, 20, 25 pounds. But if I say 25, people kind of know that that's a salmon that big. So 153, and the nets did not break. He's just saying there was a lot of fish that were caught. That's it. There's nothing more magical to it than that. That's just simply what he's doing. He's just trying to describe that Jesus is doing a miracle here. Here's another thing that I observe. I think there were probably like four or five good fishermen in the boat, and they fish all night. And then some dude on the shore says, "Hey, have you caught any fish?" You know, you ever do that when you're fishing? And I had that. I'm out there fishing. I just fish for these little trout. And I'm out there fishing, and somebody comes by and says, "Hey, have you caught anything?" Yeah, yeah. Am I going to tell you? No. Yes, I have. Well, how big? And then I say, "Well, have you caught anything?" "Oh, yeah, I've caught 10 fish. Anyway, the whole point is this. Is that there's some pride that's involved when you call yourself a fisherman or anything else you do. There's a bit of pride that's involved. And I think there's a testimony that's here that John is sharing with us. That these guys who are fishermen, they know about fishing. And some dude on the shore says, "Have you caught anything?" And you say, "No." And he says, "Hey, throw your net on the other side." You're like, "Yeah, right. Sure. You know, they don't. I think that by now we're seeing that there's something has happened in their heart, that they've walked with Jesus long enough, even though they don't know it's Jesus yet. There's something in their heart that pride doesn't get in the way, and they're willing to throw their net over to the other side That's just another observation that's in it. Isn't this kind of cool? All of this happens, and what we normally look at is Peter and the restoration of Peter, right? Hey, Peter, do you love me? Yeah. Well, then feed my lambs. Hey, Peter, do you love me? Yeah. Well, take care of my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yeah. Feed my sheep. And we normally look at that and we say, well, that's the story that's in there. But I think there's so much more that is in there that we can draw from. So let's maybe get to my main point in here. And it's the part that was read here. It's kind of an interesting story because we get to the part where they throw the nets over. They got a big haul. Peter jumps into water. He's swimming to shore. He gets to shore. And it says that Jesus is there, and he's got when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals, and there were some fish on it and some bread. Okay, that's important. I think that's an important note there. There are some fish and some bread that is cooking there for them. Now, Jesus says this. He says, bring me some of your fish. And we'll see later on that when he breaks the bread, there's enough bread for everyone. And at this point, though, he says, bring me some of your fish. I think it's fascinating there that Jesus would ask them for fish when he already had fish that was there. Like, did he really need to ask them for what he'd already provided? If he already had enough bread for everybody, certainly couldn't he have had enough fish for everybody? But he says, bring me some of your fish. And so that's when Peter goes back and he helps haul in the net and he brings in fish. And I guess it's fast frying fish because the next thing we have in here is that they're eating this fish. They're having breakfast together. So we're missing a little bit of what's happening in between there. But here's the part that I think that I started to appreciate as I started to meditate on this. Is that what does Jesus need from you? I mean, what can you give him that he can't already get or have himself? But he invites us to bring. And I think what you see here is what they are bringing is what he's already provided. Do you see that? So when he says, hey, bring me some fish, it isn't that, hey, you caught some fish over here yourself and bring me some of your fish you caught. But he's saying, bring me some of the fish that I just provided. So what does he want? He wants, as I've said before, what he wants of you more than anything is you. And whatever he wants of you, he will provide. And so if he wants you to show love and to show compassion and to show grace and to show forgiveness, he has provided that as long as we will receive it. As long as we don't get ourselves, I was going to say knickers in a knot, but I don't know if I can say that. That as long as we don't find ourselves in a place where our pride gets in the way and we say, oh, I'm not throwing my net over to the other side. Like, I know what I'm doing. I know how to live life. I know how to treat people. Imagine if the disciples didn't throw their net on the other side. But they did, because they didn't allow pride to get in the way. Humility ruled the day. I think last week I talked a little bit about humility and patience. Patience is that place of going the speed of another person in church. Humility is that place where I'm not putting myself above someone else. So communion here is an example of Jesus living and walking in humility and patience with us all, giving his life so that we may have life. And as you hold that bread in your hand, as you hold that cup in your hand, you recognize what he has given. And maybe today what it's about is about what has he given you that he's asking you to provide for what he is doing. Sometimes when I think about the people that I want to talk to about Jesus, I forget that he's already doing something in their life. And if he's asking me, he's only asking me to contribute what he's already given me to give to what he is doing. It really takes me, to me, the pressure off. I'm not trying to manufacture anything. So I say, okay, God, you know, I built this and I've done this, and now here you go. You know, I hope this is good enough. The disciples brought the fish that he had already provided for them to have breakfast. And he brought them, he cooked it. And then here we get kind of this two examples of something. It says that he broke bread. Does that sound familiar to you? Breaking bread? And he gave it to the disciples and they ate. Last Supper, he broke bread and he said, "This is my body." And then the fish, you know, we go back to the story of the fish and the feeding of the 5,000. And Jesus says, "What do you have? And let me show you what I can do with it." So what do you have, church? What is he giving you? He's just saying, just offer it back to me and watch what I do with it. Watch what I do with it. Now, I don't know how many fish they brought to Jesus to cook, but I'd imagine it wasn't 153. There was enough left over to feed more people. So he will never use everything that he gives you. There's plenty to continue on and to serve him and to know him and to love him and to keep on giving, to keep on serving. So I think that's really where I wanted to take us this morning with communion. As you hold this communion, and today is just asking the question, what has he already given you that he's just asking you to give back, to serve him, to know him, to love him? Lord Jesus, as we will take communion in a few moments, Lord, I thank you. We are reminded that you are a God of abundance. Lord, you have already provided what is needed. And first and foremost, Lord, may we celebrate that your provision of salvation has come from you and you alone. And that salvation is not just simply what is to come, but salvation is today. Every day of our lives, your grace is enough. And may we celebrate that this very day. I thank you and praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen.